Green Bay Packers cornerbacks Tremont Williams and Sam Shields are nursing injuries. If they aren't able to play against the Carolina Panthers on Sunday, will the Packers be in trouble? We find out from Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're taking a look back one last time at that comeback win over the Dolphins and then ahead to the Carolina Panthers. To do that, we have joining us, as he does every Wednesday on the show, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you, Brian?
Very good. We're glad to have you joining us as always. Let's do this, Nathan. Aaron Rodgers wasn't perfect this past Sunday. He fumbled. He didn't exactly average a high yards per pass or anything like that. But did directing that final drive kind of overcome those small negatives when grading him and breaking down his play?
Oh, yeah, that last drive certainly helped him, but it was his worst game all year, even with that final drive. He had that fumble late in the game. He had a couple of forced throws, which led to defenders deflecting the passes, a couple of overthrows or inaccurate throws in general. Part of that had to do with him being under pressure a lot. He was under pressure 38% of the time. When he wasn't under pressure, he had an NFL passer rating of 117.2. So when he wasn't under pressure, he was his typical Aaron Rodgers self. But when he was under pressure, his NFL passer rating was down to 68.2. And that doesn't take into account the times that he was sacked as well. So had it not been for Rodgers' excellent play after the fumble, that would have graded as Rodgers' worst game since 2008. In terms of his PFF pass rating, but due to those great throws he had in the last minute or so of the game, it was just his worst game of the year rather than his worst game in a long time.
Well, I think Packer fans are still happy regardless with the outcome of the game, even though it wasn't all that great for the first three-plus quarters or so. Davante Adams seemed to gain the trust of Rodgers for the first time this season. Did you detect the same thing, Nathan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, certainly when you get thrown a ball on a fake spike in that high-risk situation, you have to have a lot of trust in the receiver. But just in general, throughout the game, he was targeted seven times, had six catches for 77 yards, which were all highs for him. So it looks like Aaron Rodgers is trusting him, getting him the ball more often. And when he did get the ball, he also performed well after the catch. He had two players missed tackles on him, which led to 46 of his yards coming after the catch, and both of those were also career highs for him. So it looks like he's a player on the rise at the moment.
It sure seemed to me like the Packers' interior offensive line played well against Miami, while the tackles struggled. Would you say the same, Nathan?
Yeah, I think I would agree with you, although that could probably be said for plenty of Packers games over the past couple of years with how good of guards the Packers have had, but in terms of the run blocking in this game, Lindsley and Lang played very well. When the Packers' backs ran to the gaps outside of those two players or in between them, the running backs averaged 5.4 yards per carry, where when the Packers ran to any other gap, it was just 2.8 yards per carry. Similar in pass protection, the guards didn't allow a single pressure all game, where the offensive tackles allowed a combined 8 pressures, while that is high, Brian Bulaga did hold Cameron Wake to his worst pass rush grade of the season, which, yeah, was still a positive plus 1.1, but Wake's been more dominant against other offensive tackles. So even though it was a lot of pressure, Bulaga still held his ground for the most part.
Cameron Wake, did he have two sacks, I believe, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that to have your worst game and have two sacks is rather impressive for Cameron Wake. Nathan,
yep,
you
he's been doing very well.
Yeah, he's a good player, no doubt about it. You kind of got to some of these issues about run blocking, but with another performance with only about 40-some yards for Eddie Lacy, I want to get into the deeper part. You know, what's been the difference between last year when he was so good and this year that he's struggling to break out?
Yeah, part of why his numbers haven't been as good is he's simply not getting the carries. The Packers haven't been winning late as much, so they haven't been running to run out the clock, which is where some running backs get a lot of their statistics in. Part of it's also just James Starks has been getting a lot of carries as well since he's been playing decently. Another part of the equation is the Packers have faced some good run defenses. While adding up all the run defense grades of all of the players isn't the best way to come up with team rankings for run defense, when you do that with PFF statistics, the Packers, all six of the opponents have ranked in the top 13 in run defense. So the Packers have been playing good teams. But part of the problem is he's just being contacted too early, which isn't giving him the opportunity to do much after he's contacted. For example, in this game, David Bakhtiari, he's always been a better pass blocker than run blocker, but Josh Sitton also didn't have the best game in terms of run blocking on Sunday. Five of Lacy's 14 carries went in between those two players, and on those five carries, he just had 5 yards, and four of those yards were coming after contact. So on average, he was basically getting contacted right at the line of scrimmage on those carries.
Certainly some issues the Packers have to iron out in the running game. Still, we're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. On the defensive side of the football, Nathan, it appeared as if Ha-Ha Clinton Dix really stepped up this past week, maybe his best game of his professional career, his early professional career so far. How did he grade out?
I would agree that this was the best game of his career so far. It's been interesting to see each of the past weeks his grade for the week has gotten a little higher and higher, and this is the peak of that so far. In the run game, he had a tackle for a loss and another tackle for a short gain. As a pass rusher, he had a hurry, and in coverage, he only allowed one catch for 7 yards. So he's played very well, graded out as a plus 2.3 for the week. Nothing against Micah Hyde, but I think it might be time to give Clinton Dix a chance to stay at safety for the entire game rather than just part of it, and then just keep Hyde in for the dime or possibly the nickel defense.
Yeah. Speaking of these injuries here, we'll get to that with Tremon Williams and Sam Shields suffering injuries. You know, how did these backup cornerbacks do, Casey Hayward and Devon House?
I would say they both played well. I wanted to see both of these guys get more playing time for a while now, although I wish it was under better circumstances. Hayward had that great interception in the second quarter, as well as a run stop early on in the game, but then he struggled later on in the game covering Mike Wallace, allowing two big catches, including one where he missed a tackle afterwards. House was only targeted twice all game and had a pass defense and didn't allow a catch, so he also performed well. On the season, when quarterbacks have thrown to either of these cornerbacks, they have an NFL passer rating of under 55 for each, so even though it's limited playing time, both of these cornerbacks have played very well. And Sam Shields has been a top 10 cornerback this year, but if everyone is healthy, I might even consider having Tremon Williams sub out for a drive or two just to get Hayward and House a few more opportunities.
Perhaps not a bad idea. Elsewhere on defense, Clay Matthews, I would say, didn't have a very good game. And he hasn't really done a whole lot this season either, at least in terms of sack production. Nathan, is there reason to be concerned with Clay Matthews? Is this a growing trend, or is he just simply going to break out sometime soon?
I think there is a little bit of a reason to be concerned. Like you said, he only has the one sack on the year. but he has gotten at least two pressures every game this season, including this past game. So while that hasn't translated into sacks, he has graded out as an above-average pass rusher, which he was doing last year as well. But the problem is these 2 years, it hasn't been anywhere near as good as he was in 2012 or early on in terms of pass rushing. What might be even more concerning is how he's played against the run. Last year, he was playing well against the run, was in the top six for 3-4 outside linebackers in terms of how often he was making run stops. He had a run stop percentage of 7.3%. So that means for 7.3% of the run plays he was in, he was making a play, stopping the offense and making them either for a loss or for very little yards. Where this year, he's only been doing that 3% of the time, which is in the bottom five for 3-4 outside linebackers in the league. So while I'm guessing he will get a few more sacks as the season goes on, since this regression to the mean, how he's been getting pressures, which is something that's more consistent, so that'll lead to more sacks. But combined with he hasn't been an excellent pass rusher for the past 2 years now, and his play is getting worse against the run. So while I certainly hope he breaks out and goes back to the player he was, I'm not positive that will happen.
Well, we'll wait and see, I suppose. Nathan, upcoming here this week, a game against the Carolina Panthers. I know Cam Newton is obviously a player to watch in this game, but who else should we be watching?
Yeah, Cam Newton, everyone knows him since he was the first overall pick, and he's a running quarterback. But it is worth noting that he's been playing very well this year, better than we've seen him play in these past few years. And if you look at just his passing, he's our second highest rated quarterback at the moment. And when you include running, we currently have him as the best quarterback in the league over the first 6 weeks of the season. He doesn't have all that much help around him. The running backs have been hurting, which hasn't helped Carolina. And then while Calvin Benjamin has emerged as the top receiver, he has a low catch rate and hasn't done much after the catch. The biggest skill player the Packers need to worry about is tight end Greg Olsen, who's graded out as the best tight end this year, simply in terms of catch rating. So Greg Olsen is definitely the guy the Packers need to keep an eye on in the past game. With the Panthers on defense, they have two great players in defensive tackle, Quan Short and linebacker Luke Petrie. Both have played well, both in the run and against the pass. The Panthers lost nearly their entire secondary this past offseason in free agency, and their free agents haven't, or the free agents and replacements that they had on the roster, as well as rookies, they haven't lived up to how well the Panthers have played in the past in the secondary. So while there are a few star players that the Packers have to game plan for, if they can game plan for against those players successfully, I think the Packers should do a fine job in this game.
Yeah, so what you're telling me is Aaron Rodgers is going to burn the Panthers' cornerbacks. I like to hear that, but we'll find out. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great week, and we'll recap the game with you next week then.
Yep, thanks for having me once again, and I'll talk to you in a week from now.
All right, take care. Nathan Yonke, ProFootballFocus.com, joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central, as he does every Wednesday, giving his unique statistical analysis from Pro Football Focus. As we continue our preview, I want to talk about an issue here, break this down a little bit. You can see it's the title of the show, Cornerback Depth Put to the Test. And, you know, we got into it a little bit with Nathan there, the injuries to Tremont Williams and Sam Shields, and this comes to me as a concern. I mean, these guys were both injured, these long-term starters on the Packers defense, both injured in the Miami Dolphins game, and now kind of their status up in the air for the upcoming game against the Panthers. Now, if we take a look at these individually, Tremont Williams had his ankle rolled up on by linebacker Brad Jones, but comes out of the game, you know, I'm assuming, a sprained ankle. Sam Shields, just, what was it, one or two plays before that, he kind of had the real curious knee injury. You know, he comes out there on first down, you know, not even after a play or anything. And just before the snap is about to go off, he's like waving his hand up in the air and kind of hopping on one foot. And then he, you know, just goes down to show that he's injured. Very odd, very peculiar. The word is from Sam Shields, as he told several beat reporters for several outlets after the game, that he didn't think anything was torn. And, you know, head coach Mike McCarthy, during his Monday day after game press conference, had said that, you know, they didn't think these injuries were long term, you know, in terms that, you know, not Sam Shields or Tremont Williams aren't going to go on injured reserve or anything like that. But for the short term, though, we're not really sure. They could miss a week or two. And, you know, maybe the Packers are almost tempted to put him down and rest him for 2 weeks, as, you know, the bye comes after that. So they could, you know, rest him for 2 weeks and you know, get that extra week off and get him healthy for the after the bye and the stretch run of the season. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, these weren't no tiny little bruise here. You know, there's something to be concerned about here. So you have to wonder, you know, what's going to happen with the cornerback position and how are the Packers going to hold up without their preferred starters in the lineup. Now, I will say that these guys have done pretty darn good. The reserves, what, talking about Devon House and Casey Hayward and more or less, I mean, we're talking about these guys being Devon House on the perimeter of the field and Casey Hayward being primarily a slot type of cornerback, the guy who guards the opponent's slot receiver. They pretty much are a little bit pigeonholed into those roles. Seems to fit their skill set. You know, Casey Hayward is a little more, let's say, cagey, a little bit more aggressive, not afraid to, you know, stick his nose in the mix and make a tough tackle. Well, not to say Devon House can't do that, but, you know, he's kind of the tallest cornerback on the team. His length serves him well out on the perimeter. It, you know, remember Devon House's big game against Calvin Johnson, the Detroit Lions wide receiver earlier this season, and how well he did there. So those guys seem to serve their own roles. And what I actually did is I went into Pro Football Focus's website and found some statistics I wanted to share here on how well Casey Hayward and Devon House have done this year in their pass coverage. Both these guys, what I wanted to do was look up opponents' passer rating, opposing quarterbacks' passer rating when targeting these players. And what Casey Hayward and Devon House both do is they both rank in the top 9 of the entire NFL in opponents' passer rating. And this includes over 100 cornerbacks in the NFL. So, I mean, these guys, you know, when you're talking about amongst their peers, these guys are holding up very well. Opponents' passer rating against Casey Hayward is a mere 41.7, which ranks 4th in the NFL, according to ProFootballFocus.com. And Devon House ranks 9th, and opponents' passer rating when targeting him is only 53.5. I mean, basically, these guys aren't allowing many completions to come to their area of the field that they're responsible for. I mean, they're just, these are higher than the Packers starters, than Tremont Williams and Sam Shields, And those guys are doing very well in their own right as well. No doubt about that. I'm not questioning that. You know, and that's the good thing about the Packers secondary is they've really played well all season long. And again, I think we mentioned this on Monday. How many deep passes have you seen completed against the Packers that have gone for a touchdown this year? It's like there's none of those broken plays that end up in like a 50-yard touchdown or more. It seemed like they happen every game a season ago, you know, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's just great to see these guys, you know, play. And I think it, you know, comes from a better pass rush in front of them. You know, when you got guys like Julius Peppers and Mike Daniels and Clay Matthews, you know, getting after the quarterback, it makes it easier for you in the Packers secondary, no matter who you are. And that, and there's just better health. I mean, obviously, Casey Hayward was injured a year ago. He had that hamstring issue that, you know, basically made him miss the entire season. You know, Casey Hayward's healthy this year. And take a look at what he did against the Dolphins. Ends up grabbing that beautiful interception. Seemed to bait the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, into a bad throw. That looked like the Casey Hayward of 2012 right there. That's the kind of guy you came to know and love when he grabbed six interceptions in his rookie season. You know, hopefully that's the Casey Hayward the Packers are going to see from here forward, because they're going to rely on him quite a bit, perhaps. Not for the whole season, maybe. Assuming Williams and Shields get healthy, but this upcoming game against the Panthers, you know, Devon House and Casey Hayward could be out there nearly every snap of the ball game. And you know, even though Casey Hayward has kind of been the slot cornerback, a nickel dime type of guy, if Williams and Shields don't play, he's going to be forced out onto the perimeter. Just, you know, out of necessity. I mean, the Packers running out of bodies here. So who does that leave in the slot? Jarrett Bush. And Jarrett Bush seems to get a bad rap. I say this, I almost go through this annually. And granted, I mean, by no means am I saying Jarrett Bush is a Pro Bowl type of player. I mean, he certainly, there's a reason he's not in the starting lineup. But, you know, I do think if you leave him in the slot, and that's the only place he plays, if he's not out on the perimeter, I think he's going to hold his own. I mean, just take a look at what he did last year. And I think people forget this already. You know, take a look at what Jarrett Bush did last year against Tony Gonzalez. Future NFL Hall of Famer Tony Gonzalez. You know, he shut him down. He intercepted a pass that clinched a Packers victory against the Falcons last year in a much needed win. Like a lose and you go home type of environment. You know, and remember his Super Bowl, his interception in Super Bowl XLV. I mean, that's the Casey Hayward in the slot. I think if he sticks there, you know, is he going to be perfect? No, but I think he'll hold his own. So hopefully that's the case, and the Packers have to, you know, they just leave him there. Now, I mean, you can sit here and point, yeah, the Miami Dolphins kind of did pick on Jarrett Bush a little bit, especially late in that game when they started to make their comeback. Sam Shields and Tremont Williams go out of the game. And all of a sudden, the Dolphins recognize, well, there's Jarrett Bush out there. He's you know, maybe the worst of the bunch. Let's pick on him. And, you know, Jarrett Bush did give up a couple receptions. Again, though, nothing big, nothing huge, nothing game-breaking. I mean, cornerbacks are going to give up receptions. You know, they aren't going to hold a quarterback, you know, to zero completions. That's just not going to happen in today's day and age in the NFL. But, you know, I think the Packers can get by with these guys. And you know what's really kind of interesting here and something that we'll have to keep an eye on throughout the week, as here we are on Wednesday, the first day of Packers practice this week, what the status of Dmitri Goodson, the Packers rookie, who, boy, oh boy, I mean, the when the final roster cutdowns happened in early September, at the end of training camp, at the end of preseason, boy, the debate was all about who's going to make that final roster spot. Is it going to be Jamal Roll or Dmitri Goodson? And as you know by now, the Packers went with Dmitri Goodson, the rookie out of Baylor, kind of the minority pick from the fans, I would say. You know, you saw Jamal Roll play really good during the exhibition season. And you saw Dmitri Goodson, at least at times, struggle. And he's just a rookie, and you understand. And he was a former basketball player at Gonzaga. He's going to take his lumps. It's going to take him a while to get used to the NFL. But the Packers stick with him. Part of it might have been due to the concussion Dmitri Goodson had at the time. You know, it gets a little dicey when you got to cut a player with an injury and then, you know, have an injury settlement and then you can't sign back those players for several weeks later. That's kind of tough. And so the Packers stick with Dmitri Goodson, and he hasn't been active for a game yet this season. Hasn't played a single down. But he might be forced into action. And, you know, obviously he would be a backup. You know, if anything, they would probably start with him on special teams. And, you know, that's probably a good place for him to start out just to get his feet wet. So, you know, Dmitri Goodson, probably, you know, is he going to be active? It all depends on the status of Williams and Shields. I mean, if they don't miss any time, if they're coming back and they're playing, well, Goodson's probably still sidelined, probably still on that inactive list. You know, the Packers have to have 7 inactive players every game by rule. So they kind of, you know, the rookie's been one of those every week so far, and that could continue. But, you know, if the Packers get in a pinch, and you know, we talked about with Nathan Jahnke, Clint Dix is played so well this season. You know, maybe it's time for him to, you know, kind of play a full-time role almost at safety, whereas him and Micah Hyde have kind of been sharing snaps. Well, you know, Micah Hyde can still play a slot cornerback position, you know, whether it's the nickel, the dime, or whatever. You know, he can be out there and be fine. You know, maybe that's a role for him, again, and I don't know for how long, but, I mean, there's a place here where the Packers can get more playing time for Clint Dix and still have a role for Micah Hyde out on the defense. You know, I think he fits very well as a slot cornerback. He excelled in that position a year ago when Hyde was a rookie. So, you know, it's I would say that the Packers actually, if there was one position where they could kind of suffer some injuries and get through a rough patch, that's it at cornerback. They've got the guys, you know, that you know, should they suffer any more injuries, I mean, they might be in a bind a little bit. But, you know, there's some young players here, Hayward, House, Goodson, that are just waiting for an opportunity to show what they can do. And you think they're only, you know, these kind of guys, Hayward and House especially, I mean, they're hitting just about the prime of their career. And, you know, House is going to be motivated. He's a free agent at season's end. You know, he's going to be looking to be a starter somewhere in the NFL next year, whether it's in Green Bay or somewhere else. you know, he wants to play as well as he can and prove he can go out and sign a contract with some team and be relied upon to be a starter. So that's going to be of utmost importance to Devon House. You know, here also on Wednesday, kind of the topic of our Packers calendar at Cheesehead TV today. It's the first eligible practice for Packers center J.C. Tretter today. You know, he was the one and only player to be placed on the team's short-term injured reserve list at the outset of the season. So, you know, if you are that person, if you are placed on short-term injured reserve, by rule, you can't practice until after week six. Well, the Packers just got through their week six game. This is their first practice after week six. So J.C. Tretter eligible to practice today for the first time. It still only has 2 weeks of practice. You can't play until after week eight at the earliest. But it'll just be kind of a litmus test to see where he is in his recovery. You'll remember J.C. Tretter suffered what's reported to be a knee fracture during the preseason. And he's been out ever since then. So we'll see. If he's practicing today, that probably signifies that's a good thing. That he'll be able to return, you know, almost as soon as he's eligible to play after week eight. And of course, he does get that extra because after week eight, Packers have their bye week nine. So Tretter actually gets a little bit extra time to kind of heal there. Kind of a side benefit, I suppose. But kind of waiting to see how he is today. Be worth noting something notable. So that's where we are in the world of the Green Bay Packers here on a Wednesday morning. And that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Tuning in to listen to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. We'll be back again on Friday here at Cheesehead TV. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. The live show podcasted later on demand at Cheesehead TV later in the day. But we'll see you later, folks. On behalf of Jamie Snow and Alex Talich, I'm Brian Kirvu. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go. Cleaning up.